According to its immigration legacy, ethically and culturally, the United States of America is one of the world's most diverse and tolerant nations. The start of many trends and forward-thinking initiatives has also been attributed to the open-minded nation. In the last 100 years, U.S. society has also consciously and compassionately progressed in animal welfare and the preference for the healthier plant-based diet. Supreme Master Ching Hai has on many occasions spoken of the deep spiritual quality of this great nation.
I really respect the Americans, you know, for their force, for their determination, and their hard work spirit. Within 200 years, they built a whole nation, and so vast a nation. I was always touched when I arrived in America. And the Americans were also refugees. They wanted to protect their belief. That is very noble, really. And they came with nothing. Only the brain, only the spirit, only their faithful belief in God. And look at what they have made out of this nation, out of the wildness, of the deep wasteland. And they have built from nothing to make it become the most powerful country on earth. And now, because their seed is spiritual, therefore they always return to spiritual. The first reason, motive for them to settle in this land is spiritual reason. Therefore that seed never died. Yes. And because they are spiritual, therefore they can build their land so strong. Because they have built everything that they need to have a comfortable earthly assistance. Now they are very much for spiritual. That's why a lot of vegetarian houses in America now. Many people are vegetarian. Millions of people.
It is interesting to note that prior to the industrial era that escalated during the 20th century, meat eating in the United States was not at all common before the 1900s. Indeed, most people living in the U.S. before this age ate very little animal flesh and subsisted on a primarily plant-based diet. Today we cordially invite you to join us on an inspiring and informative exploration into the lesser known but venerable history of this great United Nation.
Vegetarianism has actually been a vital, evolving, and fairly well-recognized movement for over 200 years in the United States.
Mr. Adam Sprinson, PhD candidate in the Department of History at Loyola University of Chicago, USA, will be our guide today in the second part of a three-part program on our noble lineage. A vegetarian himself, Mr. Sprinson became interested in history of vegetarianism in America when he began his higher studies in university. He quickly realized it is an often neglected cornerstone of 19th century America.
A lot of the early vegetarians saw essentially the story of the Garden of Eden as being their motivator for vegetarianism, that in paradise, that the ideal diet was all the grains and fruits and nuts. Mm-hmm. So essentially, they looked back at Eden and at this paradise, and what was the best way to try to recreate paradise in their own world was to reflect the diet that existed within that world.
For this reason, early American vegetarians were active in sowing the seeds of this righteous way of living. They were active in publication writing, spoke to whomever would listen, and set up vegetarian living communes.
One of the more overlooked individuals in vegetarian history is an individual known as Henry S. Club, who is a Bible Christian immigrant. Club very quickly becomes involved with the American Vegetarian Society, speaks at their meetings. Fundamental to that is the publication of a new magazine, newsletter, known as the American Vegetarian and Health Journal. Club decides to start a vegetarian colony in Kansas in 1855 as part of a way to sort of spread northern ideals of abolitionism into these largely unexplored territories.
The founders of the vegetarian settlement in Kansas refrained all forms of meat and stimulants like tea, coffee, and tobacco. They dined on plant-based meals consisting of vegetables, fruits, and weeds. The colony was set up so that all members could own their own property, but that as a whole, it was essentially a cooperative. These days, a stream nearby named Vegetarian Creek still serves as a memoir of the settlement that once was.
Was there a lot of literature around that could help people make an informed decision about vegetarianism?
One of the historical factors that leads to the growth of the vegetarian movement from the 1830s onwards is the proliferation of newsletters, newspapers advocating for vegetarianism. This starts with followers of Sylvester Graham, who start printing the Graham Journal of Health and Longevity in the 1830s, up until this American Vegetarian and Health Journal. These printed pieces of literature that also involve new cookbooks that pop up in the 1850s, telling people how to best prepare vegetables and live a healthy lifestyle, help spread vegetarianism away from being a more localized, individualized movement, and branch it out not only throughout big cities, but also into the South, as these journals made their way into people's hands, and into Western territories, where people lived fairly separated lives. These journals and newsletters and cookbooks were a way of combining people together into one sort of larger community of dietary reformers that became interested in vegetarianism during the time period.
Did the spiritual aspect of it continue with these publications?
Religious and spiritual factors drove individuals to not only adhere to this diet, but also to feel as if there was sort of a greater good to it. Vegetarians are very focused on the communal good of their diet, certainly by making these choices for themselves, that they were helping society at large, and that the only way to better society was to then, of course, spread that message, because then the more people that adhere to that, the more goodness for communities at large.
When our noble lineage returns after this message, we will explore the ideals that lay the foundation for past vegetarian movements that are just as relevant in the yesteryears as they are today. You are watching Supreme Master Television.
I'm Adam Sprinson. Be veg, go green to save the planet. These larger issues of diet as a vehicle for social justice have been occupying the minds of individuals in the United States for hundreds of years now, and continue to into the 20th century. And that's a fairly remarkable historical continuity, and one that vegetarians, I think, should be proud of.
Welcome back to our noble lineage and part two of our discussion with Mr. Adam Sprinson on the history of vegetarianism in America.
As the 1830s turn into the 1840s and 1850s, vegetarians embrace the lifestyle primarily because of the political implication. They see it as a way to end slavery, as a way to empower women during the time period, as a way to possibly even create economic justice, that meat was expensive and that it kept people impoverished because they were spending so much money on an unhealthy diet, whereas vegetables were certainly more abundant, certainly cheaper, and more available. And that was a way to possibly avoid poverty in the city. The early vegetarians want to avoid violence at all costs, but they don't necessarily start advocating for animal rights until the 1860s, when animal protection agencies start to open. The ASPCA becomes a fairly well-recognized organization in 1867, and this affects vegetarianism, but they see it as being a way to treat animals with compassion.
In part one last week, we were introduced to some of the founders of the Vegetarian Society. Their reasons for meat abstention were rooted in religious beliefs. As the health benefits of a plant-based diet were soon realized, vegetarianism became even more an attractive way of living.
The leaders of this new vegetarian society were sort of an interesting combination of the dietary reformers of the time. So Sylvester Graham was one of the original vice presidents. One of the more important leaders of this new movement was a figure named William Alcott, who was actually Louisa May Alcott's uncle. And he becomes the first president of this American Vegetarian Society. And Alcott was a trained physician and a religious figure as well, and found a way to sort of combine these two aspects of his life to order to argue for vegetarianism from a physiological standpoint, that it was healthier, it was a way to avoid disease, which was certainly in the 1840s and 1850s a serious problem in American cities. And Alcott but argues from a very spiritual standpoint, that it is the most natural diet, the one that individuals were intended by God.
William Alcott authored the book The Vegetable Diet, as sanctioned by medical men and by experience in all ages. Together with his cousin, Bronson Alcott, they founded the Fruitlands Vegetarian Commune, which was later made famous by Louisa May, Mr. Bronson's 10-year-old daughter. Famous transcendentalist and nature literature writer Henry David Thoreau was a close friend of Bronson Alcott, who was also one of the founders of the Transcendentalist Club.
Part of the way that they advocate for vegetarianism is that they argue that it's a cleaner lifestyle and that it will make them healthier individuals, able to sort of withstand the rapid growth of urbanization that's going on throughout the 19th century. There's a sort of romanticism going on, that vegetarians see all these changes going on, and while on one hand they embrace them because they are living in the cities, at the other hand they look back to a more simple time in which people lived more communal lifestyles, and they see vegetarianism as a way of maybe getting back to that way of caring for one another.
Fruitlands was established in 1841 and was created on transcendentalist principles. To establish their independence and eliminate the need for trade outside of Fruitlands, community members grew their own food and made their own goods. They also strongly encouraged working together as a community to support one another. At the same time, however, each person also strived for individualistic improvement. Education there was also considered an important element in the development of a child's intuition. Members of Fruitlands subsisted on simple vegan diets. Co-founder Charles Lane wrote, "Neither coffee, tea, molasses, nor rice tempts us beyond the bounds of indigenous production. No animal substances, neither flesh, butter, cheese, eggs, nor milk pollute our tables, nor corrupt our bodies. Root vegetables were not eaten as their lower nature of downward growth did not complement the members' endeavors of higher self-improvement. Their close adherence to a vegan diet was born from their compassion for animals. They believe that farm animals should be freed from farm labor and should not be eaten."
Vegetarian boarding houses start to become popular in cities in the Northeast in the 1830s. By the 1860s and 1870s, these health sanitariums, health resorts, become popular. The most popular amongst them was the Battle Creek Sanitarium in Michigan, but there were these sanitariums throughout the United States, most of which had a vegetarian kitchen. The ones that didn't have a vegetarian kitchen also offered a vegetarian meal plan to those who were interested, but majority of them adhered to principles of vegetarianism because it was seen as being healthiest. The Seventh-day Adventists come fundamental to the vegetarian movement by the 1880s with the opening of the Battle Creek Sanitarium, who also view vegetarianism as sort of a religious calling.
Many famous figures in the United States history, including some of the key founding fathers, were dietary reformers themselves.
Franklin lived an on-and-off vegetarian lifestyle. Quakers were one of the first American groups that lived a vegetarian lifestyle, although they didn't necessarily preach about it. Lincoln certainly was aware of the movement, and his wife, Mary Todd, actually ends up staying at the Battle Creek Sanitarium in the 1880s, well after Lincoln had passed.
We have enjoyed your company on this episode of Our Noble Lineage, Tracing a Venerable History with Adam Sprinson. We will see you again next Sunday for the conclusion of our three-part feature. Coming up now is Between Master and Disciples here on Supreme Master Television. May health and happiness be constant companions on your journey back to the divine. For more information about Mr. Adam Spritzen and his Archimedean lever of vegetarian history, recipes, and ephemera, please visit vegetarianhistory.com.
For more details, please see www.suprememastertv.com/NL.